It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona. It is game week Wednesday. Glad to have you aboard with us. I will let you hear from Joe Burrow, Kalavon Chasson as the offense and defense get set for the challenge of Georgia Southern coming in. You'll hear from the Eagles head coach Chad Lunsford, and then also former Tigers Rohan Davey and Ryan Clark both talk about LSU as they get ready for the season and the season opener. First, though, so much anticipation. You ask anybody really what they're looking for in looking forward to this weekend with LSU hosting Georgia Southern at 6:30. Most everybody's going to say they want to see what this new offense is going to look like. What we know is that it will be piloted by Joe Burrow, and they're going to use a lot of different receivers. Burrow was asked by the media on Tuesday just how many receivers might play in this game.
Eight, maybe. You know, we have a lot of players that, you know, we're going to have a rotation throughout the whole game. One guy gets tired, you plug another guy in, and you're not expected to miss a beat. So those guys are going to be ready, and, you know, we have a lot of depth at those positions.
Eight receivers. Eight. Let me put this into perspective for you. A year ago, Justin Jefferson was LSU's leading receiver with 54 catches. Stephon Sullivan, who's now a tight end, had 23, as did Ja'Marr Chase. Derek Dillon had 22. Foster Moreau, another tight end, had 22. And then Dee Anderson, who is not with the team, had 20 receptions. Beyond that, Nick Brissett is next with 14. He was a running back. Terrace Marshall had 12. There's another receiver. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 11, running back. Jonathan Giles had 10 receptions on the season. He's a receiver. So if you're just counting the receivers a year ago that had double-digit receptions, you had Justin Jefferson, Stephon Sullivan, Ja'Marr Chase, Derek Dillon, Dee Anderson, and Terrace Marshall. Well, and Giles as well. That makes seven. But keep in mind that Sullivan is now a tight end. Dee Anderson's not with the team. And Giles is obviously not with the team as well. So you only have four returning receivers who a year ago had double-digit catches on the season. That includes Terrace Marshall at 12. People have been asking all offseason, are they really going to change the offense? I've said it all along. I don't know if it will work, but it will look very, very different offensively for LSU this weekend. Now, Joe Burrow was also asked about the specific challenge of going against this Georgia Southern team, which people also forget, as Joe Burrow says here, was pretty good a year ago.
Georgia Southern won 10 games last year. Like, people keep forgetting, you know, Georgia Southern's a really good football team, won a bowl game. I think they won their conference. And anytime you go up against a triple option team, you have to come in with all your guns loaded and ready to score on all the possessions that you get, because you might not get a lot of possessions.
Coach O spoke really highly of their turnover ratio as
yeah,
well.
They're number one in the country. They were plus 22, I think. And so that's going to be big for us. You know, their offense isn't going to give away the ball. We're going to have to not give away the ball as well.
So everybody's excited to see the offense, but the defense also, as Burrow said there, has a little bit of a different challenge because they're facing a triple option team. I've reminded people often that, you know, when Nick Saban went on his famous, you know, bleep through a tin horn rant, it was talking about the Georgia Southern game in 2011, and LSU fans should remember the 2011 Alabama defense. That team was pretty good. You know, that 2011 Alabama defense, Georgia Southern's triple option attack ran for 300 yards against Alabama that year. The big difference, of course, is that game was in November, slap right down in the middle of what ended up being a championship run for Alabama. And if you only have a few days to prepare for a triple option, it can be problematic. Ed Ogeron said earlier this week they've been working since February, at least service level, on getting ready to face this triple option, which is good. The other thing that LSU has that's beneficial is Jontre Kirkland, who was a high school quarterback who has been mimicking Georgia Southern quarterback Shai Wertz all this week. Here's what Kalavon Chasson said about chasing around Jontre Kirkland so far this week in practice.
Bro, too much, man. I've been chasing him all day. I know we got these little bugs. I know myself probably saying I ran 5 miles today, man. I be had to tell him to slow down sometimes. I be had to tackle him with no pads just to let him know the word, like, slow down.
Needless to say, Jontre Kirkland is giving LSU a good look at the triple option, but here is Chasson a bit more on defending not just Kirkland or Shai Wertz, but this triple option.
As far as myself, obviously I'm finally back. So I just be wanting to go. Sometimes I just want to go. Like I want to go. I want to hit somebody. I just want to roll. But this is a game with patience. You know what I'm saying? And gap sound. And that's one of the things that's gonna go out throughout the whole game. And that's one thing I gotta focus on, just being gap sound and have patience and doing my job to consistently throughout the whole game and don't make anything up.
I know it's totally cliche, but keep an eye on the turnovers. You heard Burrow mention it. Georgia Southern led the country in turnover margin a year ago at plus 22. In large part, that's because Shai Wertz was the only starting quarterback in the entire FBS that did not throw an interception. They just didn't give the ball away. We'll see if an opportunistic LSU defense can force some turnover Saturday in Tiger Stadium. Ed Ogeron has his coach's show tonight, Wednesday. We'll certainly let you hear some of what he had to say on tomorrow's episode. And then also Ed Ogeron on Thursday evening will meet with the media. So we'll still hear plenty from Coach O before the LSU-Georgia Southern game, and any updates we'll certainly share with you. A couple of former LSU Tigers, Ryan Clark and Rohan Davey, joined me to talk a little bit about this week, and we're looking forward to that. We'll talk about it next on Locked On LSU, your team on Locked On. The NFL season begins next week, which means Crossover Wednesday will be back for the entire regular NFL season. You'll get a special episode every Wednesday as the hosts from opposing sides meet up to preview the excitement of the games happening that week. Find your favorite team wherever you get podcasts. Be sure not to miss the NFL listeners' favorite segment. We continue Locked On LSU, your team every day. LSU, Georgia Southern, Saturday, 6:30 p.m. in Tiger Stadium. And had a chance to visit with Georgia Southern head coach Chad Lunsford, entering his second full season there in Statesboro. He took over as an interim in 2017, went 2-4 down the stretch, got the full-time job last year. They go 9-3, win their bowl game, the Camellia Bowl, to go 10-3. Two of the losses, by the way, Auburn and Clemson. So pretty salty squad from Statesboro. And the quarterback, Shai Wertz, had some off-the-field issues. You might remember he was arrested. He was accused of having cocaine on the hood of his car. Turns out it was actually bird poop. Anyway, there had still been no formal word from Georgia Southern as to whether or not he would play in this ball game because he was still subject to the University of Code of Conduct. I started the interview with Coach Chad Lunsford talking about Shai Wertz and if, in fact, he would play against LSU.
Yes, he is. We were following our student athlete policies when everything kind of went down, and so everything got cleared up, and he's now free to play.
He's the only starting quarterback in the FBS a year ago. I know you know this stat, but for the benefit of our audience, that did not throw an interception last year. I mean, it's stunning when you look at the balance in the passing game and in the running game. What has made him so special?
He really bought into ball security. I mean, we preach it over and over again, and we work on it throughout practice. And you know, him being bought into it and understanding that he's going to have the ball in his hands every play, you know, it's a testament to him to be able to protect the ball the way he does. And so I know he'll continue to work at that and continue to try to make sure that Eagles don't beat Eagles by turning the ball over.
And you know what's so interesting? When I think about Georgia Southern, if you go back to the 80s, winning 1AA championships, or recently with Jeff Monken and Willie Fritz, the triple option, which is just it's just not common in the current day of college football, yet there and that program has done it so well. In your time now and a year plus going into your second full season, have you considered modernizing the offense and doing away with the triple option?
Not a chance at Georgia Southern. This identity of our program is running the football and doing it with the option. And, you know, I mean, there's been so much success here with this program. You know, I would never mess around with that. I think, you know, obviously our fan base believes in it. The players we recruit believe in it. And, you know, it's been a recipe for success at Georgia Southern, so I would not venture away from that here.
Why is it so difficult for opponents to defend it and to prepare for it, aside from the fact that it's just they just don't see it every week?
Well, aside from that, I think it's just the speed of it. I think it's the ability to recreate it in practice. That's what's hard. And you know, I've been in both offenses here at Georgia Southern, being under center and shotgun, option. And, you know, it's the same thing in that, you know, if you only have a week to prepare, you don't really get that same feel for what it's going to be like on game day. So, you know, I think that gives us a leg up. I think that gives us an advantage when we go into our game, especially if a team only has a week to prepare for it.
He is Chad Lunsford on Twitter, at Chad Lunsford, the head coach at Georgia Southern. They'll be in Baton Rouge this week, and he's the pride of Elberton, Georgia. Coach, I looked that up. That's the home of Meriwether Lewis, of Lewis and Clark. Did you know that?
Actually, I did not.
How about that? You do this interview in Louisiana, and you learn a little something.
Holy smokes, man. I can't believe you taught me something about my hometown.
How in the world was that not in every, like, Georgia State history class? I mean, did you do that in the eighth grade?
It probably was. We love good kids, and we love good students. Maybe I wasn't a good student.
Neither was I. That's what I do radio, Coach.
I do know this. Elberton is the granite capital of the world, if that helps you on anything.
Hell yeah, it is. You better believe that. You were, a couple more minutes with Chad Lunsford. You were on staff in 2013 when Georgia Southern beat Florida. That was your first year back at Georgia Southern, if I remember that correctly. When I mention that game to you, and I just say 2013, Georgia Southern at Florida, what's the first memory that pops in your head?
Man, our kids just celebrating that victory. You know, that was our transition year from FCS to FBS, and we were not eligible to go to the playoffs because we were moving up. And, you know, that senior class had done a lot, and they had, you know, won a lot of football games and gotten close to winning national championships a couple times. And, you know, to be able to cap that season off with a win over an SEC football team, I mean, just, man, the looks on their faces and the celebration, I mean, that's what I remember.
So you were part of that staff that won at Florida. You spent 4 years in Auburn, including the 2010 championship year there with Cam Newton. Like, you've seen the most elite football. You've seen national championship football. How does it compare? What is the biggest difference in what your program aspires to be and what a team like that Auburn team that won the championship is?
Well, a lot like that Auburn team that won, you know, the national championship, we have a really close group of guys. I mean, they play for one another. They call it the brotherhood, and you know, they really have bought into that. And, you know, the culture around here is, you know, off the charts. You know, that to me is what's similar to the 2010 Auburn team. You know, but when you start talking about Auburn football, you really talk about the elite athletes in the country, national recruiting, you know, the five stars, the four stars, all that stuff. You know, at Georgia Southern, you know, we don't recruit five stars. I mean, we may try, but, you know, you don't really get a shot at those type of guys. And so we go find guys that really fit our program. And, you know, we've talked about our identity being blue-collar, disciplined, and tough. And, you know, that really doesn't take talent. Now, we need talent to win ball games for sure. But being able to buy into being hardworking, being a disciplined football team, and being a tough football team, not only physically but also mentally, you know, to me, you know, that's what makes up Georgia Southern. And we've got a bunch of guys that have bought into that, and they want to just add to the legacy of Georgia Southern football. When you talk Georgia Southern football, tradition is rich, and it's a very young program. It's unbelievable how the tradition took off here. And so those guys just want to add to the legacy.
You mentioned the culture. I see this hashtag, the GATA. I see it on the front of the helmets. What is that? Fill in our audience.
Get after their ass.
I love it. That's well known among everybody there?
Yeah, no question.
I love it, man. I mean, even fans and everybody.
Yeah, Art Russell actually started that when he was at Georgia, playing Georgia Tech. I think it was Georgia Tech Athletic Association, and he took the you know, the letters and rearranged them, and, you know, basically get out to take that. But
it turned
into a staple at Georgia Southern, so we really love it. So
God, and I respect so much the fact that you would just blurt that out on radio. That was awesome. Now, the fact that you were at Auburn in 9, 10, 11, and 12 also means you made two trips to Tiger Stadium. And since Auburn hasn't won in Baton Rouge since 99, it means you never won in Tiger Stadium. I'll ask you the same question I asked about Florida. When I say playing in Tiger Stadium, what's the first thing that pops in your head?
Man, off the charts atmosphere. That place rocks. there ain't many stadiums I've been in that's just that passionate, you know, 100+ thousand people, and they live and breathe LSU football. So that atmosphere is something else, you know, and our guys, you know, they got to get prepared for that.
But your guys did play at Clemson and at Auburn a year ago, so this isn't new for them going into a big atmosphere. In what way? I mean, I can fabricate a response here, but in what way would that be beneficial, or is it beneficial to them having played those games a year ago, coming into this one today, this weekend?
Well, it is. I mean, you know, Clemson's obviously national champions, and their atmosphere is off the charts also. And you know, just having guys, you know, especially our football team now, having guys that did play in that Auburn game and did play in that Clemson game, they won't walk in there and go, man, this is different. You know, they'll be ready to do it, and they'll be excited to play in that type of atmosphere. You know, I know they'll be prepared for that, but, you know, LSU is a different place now, and so it'll have its own distinct things that we have to make sure we don't distract us.
Again, Chad Lunsford, Georgia Southern head coach, bringing his Eagles into Tiger Stadium this weekend. This is Locked on LSU, your team every day. Quick break. A couple of former Tigers, Rohan Davey, Ryan Clark, express what they're looking forward to this weekend in week one of LSU football. Stick around. Locked on LSU, your team every day. Wrapping up another edition, Locked on LSU, your team every day. One of the big conversations going into this week is going to be Derek Stingley Jr. We'll get to see him play for LSU the first time. But one of the big storylines coming out of the first depth chart released by Ed Ogeron is that after Christian Fulton, LSU lists the next four cornerbacks, which are all true freshmen. I want to talk about that with Ryan Clark. And I started by asking, even though they're talented and athletic, is that and should that be a concern for this LSU team?
Absolutely. Even you should be concerned with Derek Stingley because he's still 18 years old and he's still going to have some of those 18-year-old things happen, but he's such an immense talent that he's going to make plays as well. It'll be, okay, let's test the freshman until you throw two deep balls and he knocks one down and picks the other one off. But every now and then they're going to catch a ball like that. That's just how it works. Cordell Flott has had a great camp, extremely athletic, probably of the new guys, because they're all very tall kids. Of the new guys, I would think, to me, he's the most twitchy. He's the guy that gets in and out of his cuts the quickest to me. And he also is extremely long. Now, the thing you worry about with him is that he's fairly built right now, right? He's a skinnier, slimmer kid. Does he hold up?
Can I give you a comp?
Yes.
Remember when Rashard, you were still playing in the NFL. You may not remember.
I don't know if he's as fast as Rashard is.
Rashard Robinson came in. He was a late qualifier, RC. Mm-hmm. He showed up on campus the week before they went to Arlington and played TCU. He showed up on game week, and he played in that game. Mm-hmm. It was good, but he was like a $160.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was, it worked.
I think, no, it can work. I do think he's a different level talent. I think
who is
Rashard?
Okay,
yeah, and it's not knocking Cordell at all, because I think other than Stingley, he's the most talented. But Rashard was just different. You know, you can listen to guys. You listen to Tre'Davious White talk about him and how much more talented Rashard was than him. He'll say it, right? Corey will say it, and so I don't want to necessarily. There is a comp in body style and length. But I'm not necessarily sure they're the same guys. I do think he can be effective. He will, as any other freshman will, he would take his lumps, right? He'll give up some plays, but I also think he'll make some. And he's been very competitive in camp. He's a guy who's learned a lot. When you're around these kids, you realize how smart they are. Jay Ward is probably the most physical of them all, and he's a slimmer kid as well. And so, you know,
Uro Jones,
if those kids. For him, with him, I think he has the longest way to go to understand the position. He's a kid who played quarterback,
okay,
in high school. And so there's always a transition into understanding the leverage you need to play with, understanding how you use certain techniques. But all three of those guys behind Stingley and Fulton, sky's the limit for what type of players they could be. You just don't necessarily know if you want them out there week one.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why you're counting on a guy like Kelvin Joseph after a year of experience. And here's what I'll say. Those guys from a a mental standpoint, maybe a little ahead of where Kelvin was, but he is an immense talent. If you got to see him play at Scotlandville, if you watched him during 7-on-7s, he probably wasn't as technical as these guys and maybe not as focused, but he was bigger, he was stronger, mm-hmm. probably faster than all but Stingley. And so that's why you were kind of able to throw him out early, because what keeps freshmen from playing most times is not being physically ready to do it, which is why everybody's in love with Derek, because in the end, he's physically ready to do it. He's over 6 foot. He's 190 pounds. He can run. He can jump. He's strong. And so you have all of these things. So, you know, when you're faced against a 21-year-old, yeah, think about that. There's a kid that came into school as highly recruited as these kids that had, that's, take LSU, has had 3 years of Coach Moffitt.
Yep.
Has had 3 years of Corey Raymond or Mickey Joseph if they were playing receiver. And so now you're an 18-year-old kid who hasn't had those things facing that guy who used to be you. And so those are the things that scare you with playing freshman sometimes. But when you have a kid like Stingley that from a physical standpoint can do everything anyone else can in college football, you live with some of the mental lapses and things you're going to get from playing 18-year-olds.
Another thing to keep an eye on, a former LSU quarterback, Rohan Davey, joined us. And he said keep an eye on LSU in the red zone. For perspective, Roe went to 2 of LSU's scrimmages and said that's one place where coming out of the scrimmages, they need to tweak and get better.
In my opinion, and it's football anyway, but you know when you get down in the red zone, the green zone, inside of 25, inside of 20, wherever coaches want to deem the green or red zone, that's where wide open offenses, spread offenses, 4 or 5 wide, such as what we're lining up in, it becomes hard to score. And I didn't see a red zone package, or I didn't have any idea what we're going to be doing in the red zone when we get close to the end zone. So I'm anxious to see that.
Wait, you didn't see it just because they didn't do it, or they didn't do it well?
I think it probably was a combination of both. I think that they didn't show it, you know, so to speak. I don't know. But I think the things that they tried to work on, I know week one Joe wasn't there, so I don't think they put that big of an emphasis on it at the quarterback position. But I know the second scrimmage, they did some things in the red zone, and you know, I just don't know where we were going with it. It wasn't clean, it wasn't crisp. I'm anxious to see that, because if we can't score, it doesn't matter what we're doing in the open field. If we get down inside of 20 and our package isn't, you know, bread for that 20-yard. And most of the time, man, you can't spread it out too much inside of 20, because the field is shorter. Everything's quicker, it's more condensed. So I'm very anxious to see what the hell we do inside the red zone.
Okay, let me ask you. You know the personnel, I mean, as well as anybody can that's not there every single day.
Right.
What would you do with this personnel down in the red zone?
I'll be honest with you, man. The first thing that you want to – every coach I've ever been around, they always want to establish an identity of we can run when we want to run. Once you get in that red zone, you know, we want to be able to pick up the tough yards, the 1 yard. And so, I mean, I personally would simplify it a little bit. I don't know if I go 4 or 5 wides in that space, just because everything is just so much quicker. The throws are quicker. We could spread it out and try to pop some runs in there. I mean, you got to throw the football. But I would like to see a package to where we have some bigs in there, and it's totally different from what we're doing in the field, but we can still go have a package in the red zone 4 to 4 wide. But I'd like to see the tight ends get a lot more involved, get the quarterback on the edge a lot more, just things like that, that when you get in the red zone, they think, oh, we're going to spread you out, we're going to do this, same thing we're doing in the field, and it's, you know, totally different.
So I've said that I think Stephon Sullivan is a 5 to 7 touchdown guy this year for that purpose. Mm-hmm. I think that he's a red zone threat.
I do too. So do I.
Okay. So, I mean, how do you utilize him then in the red zone?
Well, the first thing you got to do is use his size. I don't know how you hide him, because it's hard to hide him.
Or can you just isolate him?
You can just isolate him if somebody has Stephon Sullivan lined out wide on isolation and they put a regular corner out there, that coach on the other side of the ball is an idiot, because it's just clear it's going to be a jump ball. you know, it's obvious that it's going to be. And I have no problem with that. I mean, he's a big guy. Go up and get it. But I think that's one way, isolation. Another way is you motion him in, bring him in like Coach is saying, and you drag him across, bring him across. It's just, you got to keep him moving.
Did you play with a guy like that at any point? I'm trying to remember.
Nah, I mean, I think the closest to that size and skill set that we had when I was there was probably Ed Dangerfield.
Okay, yeah.
He didn't play all that much. But as far as size and ability, that's the closest. And I think the next probably at the tight end position probably was Robert Royal. And he wasn't as, you know, this guy here is a receiver. Sullivan's, I mean, clearly a receiver that's come down. He's still more fluent and everything than Rob was, but Rob was a great tight end.
All right, that'll put a button on it here for a hump day edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. Please subscribe however you get your podcast. Hit the subscribe button, rate us on iTunes. All that is super helpful. Until tomorrow, enjoy the day. It's Locked On LSU, your team every day.